So, Sean, I've been doing a little bit of listening to our recent episodes, and I'm thinking, things seem pretty obvious.
Whoa. It's kind of harsh, John. What do you mean?
Well, like last week, you know, we did that episode about the importance of political bases,
right.
And then we played that song by Meghan Trainor all about that base.
I mean, okay, maybe that's one example. What else you got?
Well, then the other week, you and Laurel did that episode about news stories just beginning, and you played that song, We've Only Just Begun.
Okay, I thought that was good, but you could argue that was also a little obvious. But here's the good news, John. I've got an idea this week that is super original. Nobody has ever thought about doing this. It's going to be totally fresh.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. We are not doing that.
Okay, hear me out. Everybody's talking about the Game of Thrones premiere. It is the quintessential show about power struggles. What have we been covering at the Wisconsin State Capitol? Power struggles.
Yeah, but that is super obvious. Everybody's doing a Game of Thrones tie-in this week.
So what? Now we are too. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm Sean Johnson.
I'm John K. Wilson. This week, let's talk about the Game of Thrones that is the Wisconsin State Capitol. So that obviously is the theme song to the hit HBO fantasy series Game of Thrones, which this week is premiering its eighth and final season. A lot of stuff is going to go down. Nobody really knows what's going to happen. There's dragons and zombie dragons and, you know, familial love.
Yeah, I mean, the gravitational pull of this show apparently is so strong that personally, speaking for myself, I couldn't think of another gimmick this week. Apparently, I'm also looking forward to this premiere. I do want to just as a heads up for somebody listening to this program, one thing you're not going to hear here is we are not going to make comparisons in this show between people who work in Wisconsin state government and people who are characters in Game of Thrones.
This is all on Sean's insistence, by the way. All I wanted to do was compare politicians to Game of Thrones characters.
It would be
fun. I'm just saying.
It would be fun, and I would probably listen to a podcast that did that, but I am not going to do it. I'm not going to compare anybody to Ramsay Bolton. I'm not going to compare anybody to the Night King or, you know, to Jon Snow.
Just use your imagination. You know who we're talking about.
Yeah. As you listen to this, perhaps you attach a character to these people, but we're not going to do it, period.
Oh, real quick, sidebar here. Laurel off this week.
Mm-hmm.
We'll hear from her again soon, so we get to talk about Game of Thrones all by ourselves. I don't even know if she watches, actually.
I think she quit in the middle. She's
really?
Like, I don't need this. I don't need this much negativity in my life. Can
it's
you
an,
believe
it's an,
that?
It's an empowering, positive show.
Sure it is. It's really positive.
There's a little bloodlust, but whatever.
Okay, let's talk about some power struggles that are closer to home.
Okay.
The Wisconsin State Capitol. And I really do think there is quite a tie-in here because, sure, you can watch Game of Thrones for the prophecies and the depth of characters and whatever your thing is. You're really in it for the power struggles, right? Which house is going to win? Who's going to sit in that iron throne, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like lately, Wisconsin state government just feels like every week it's about power struggles in divided government
mm-hmm.
between a Democratic governor, Tony Evers, and Republican legislative leaders, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. And we chose to do this show this week. We could probably do it any week, but there are quite a few examples this week where you saw this power struggle kind of rise to the surface of the stories we were covering.
Do we want to start with the appointments, maybe?
I think so. That seems to be where this argument between Evers and GOP leaders has really become hyper-focused, is on these appointments that Governor Scott Walker made. They were confirmed in the lame duck session last year, and then Evers rescinded 82 of them and then reappointed 67 of them, leaving these 15 people who were appointed by Walker, confirmed by the Republican lame duck Senate, and then are now out of work, basically. And some of these are for boards and commissions you haven't even heard of. But there are also some pretty high profile positions there. A board of regent, a public service commissioner. These are important positions. They have terms that extend beyond Tony Evers' first term, so they could outlast him. And so this is a fight that he has decided is worth having. And
so some of those, you know, more important seats that he left vacant, he's looking for somebody to fill those who's pledged to his house, essentially.
That's right. Yeah. Right. Who is flying his banner.
Sigil, actually.
Sigil?
Yeah.
they call it a sigil in the show?
They do, I think.
I always thought it was a banner.
Well, maybe they call it both, but
right.
I think in Game of Thrones world, each house has its own sigil.
I'm really unqualified to do a show about Game of Thrones. While I've watched every episode, I don't remember what happened, and I will need to do one of
those. We should clarify, neither of us has read the books or anything. We're not that big of Game of Thrones aficionados. If we get anything wrong, we apologize.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so these appointments.
So this fight has come down to these appointments, these 15 appointments that Walker made that Evers has said no to. This is bothering Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald. And this week, the Senate met, had a very short calendar, which has been the story of 2019, really. The legislature has met a few times, but it has not had these really long calendars that we've gotten used to when you had single-party control of the state government.
Where they wanted to get a bunch of stuff through.
Yeah, they have not done a lot this year. And so they met, they passed some things, and then at the end of session, Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling, the Senate's top Democrat, stood up and said, you know, I noticed that Governor Tony Evers' appointments are not on the calendar today, and they could have been. I think the phrase that she used was that the Senate was, she thought Republicans were slow walking these Evers appointments because of what Evers had done to the Walker appointees rescinding those 15 appointments.
And so then Fitz talks to the media afterwards, right?
Yeah, he
and
says,
what does he say?
There might be some truth to that. And he's kind of mad at the way that it was, he mentioned Public Service Commissioner, I guess former Public Service Commissioner, or we'll call in limbo Public Service Commissioner. She's not on the PSC right now. Ellen Nowak, a longtime Republican aide. I mean, she has worked for GOP legislators for some time. She was Walker's former Department of Administration secretary and had served as a PSC commissioner under Walker. And he appointed her, I think it was on November 30th. Of last year. So, you know, he knew he was on the way out and the Senate was going to be meeting this one last time. And so she is one of those kind of pure, you'd call lame duck appointees, appointed late and the Senate confirmed her late.
Mm-hmm.
Fitzgerald does not like the way that she's been treated. She went to work one day and was basically turned away. And so he's basically saying, yeah, you know, some of Governor Evers' appointees are going to be in trouble in the Senate. So you're seeing a situation where what Evers is doing with this one group of Walker appointees, maybe potentially, according to Fitzgerald, hurting his chances to get his own appointees confirmed by Republican senators.
And this is not the only news story this week about appointees and Governor Evers.
It is not. So on the day that Fitzgerald made those remarks, a court of appeals issued a decision in favor of Tony Evers in this dispute over appointees.
Because Republicans had said, hey, there's a stay in this lawsuit challenging the lame duck session.
I feel like we almost need to back it up just a little bit more, okay?
All right.
So let's step this back. In mid-March, Dane County Judge Richard Neese issued a decision that said the entire lame duck session, including the Senate confirmation of these 82 appointees, was unlawful. It was unconstitutional. On March 22nd, Governor Evers rescinded those Walker appointees. On March 27th, a court of appeals issued a stay saying, okay, Judge Neese's decision is on hold while this thing is being appealed. So you had this window between when Neese issued his decision and when the Court of Appeals issued the stay.
Right.
So Republicans are saying, don't give me that window stuff. the Court of Appeals issued a stay. These people, these appointees, were lawfully appointed and they get to go to work. I mean,
in fact, Fitz sent a letter to all of those 82 people saying, your jobs are in fact jobs. You should go to your jobs.
Right. And they, the Republican attorney went to the court and said, look, Governor Evers is in violation of this court stay. Mm-hmm. The court said, no, he's not. In fact, a unanimous District 3 Court of Appeals ruled that Governor Evers was just fine doing what he did, like that during this window, the stay was not in effect. And the stay only takes effect from March 27th onward, that it doesn't go backwards. And so Evers was okay rescinding those appointments.
It's kind of like, you know, the door and the wall, you know, for a while it would, the tunnel thing, you know, it was open.
Uh-huh.
And then Evers was able to run through and, you know, rescind some appointments. And then the door closed again. And that's what the court agreed on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to provide a little illustration for folks out there.
Sure. And Republicans were like, hold that door. Hold that door.
No, that's a different door, and also time travel.
You're right. You're right. You're right. Also, we're not going to tell you what that means if you haven't watched the show. So anyway, that's where things stand, is that the court has said that Evers was within his right to rescind these appointments. Now, Republicans have asked the state Supreme Court to step in and say, no, in fact, the appeals court, you got it wrong. They've appealed that. In fact, the entire case could potentially be fast-tracked to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, because plaintiffs have asked the Wisconsin Supreme Court to hear the entire case in an expedited fashion. But that's where things are right now, is these people have been pushed out of their jobs, and not a single one of Governor Tony Evers' appointments has been confirmed by the Republican State Senate.
Really? Not one of them?
Not a one, no. And they're sending signals that somebody might get rejected. And mm-hmm. and they're not exactly naming names, but Fitzgerald came out on that day and said, look, some of these people are in trouble. Later that day, Senator Dewey Strobel came out with a news release and said, Department of Transportation Secretary Craig Thompson just got it all wrong in his budget. He's returning eminent domain for the ability to build bike paths. I don't support that. I mean, Strobel has already been a critic of Thompson kind of earlier in the news cycle, I guess, back when he was first appointed by the governor. Strobel was one of those Republicans who said, I don't like this appointment. So that seems to be the name that they're mm-hmm. honing in on, but nobody's done anything yet. There's been no vote yet, but everybody's just kind of on edge, I imagine.
And so another little bit of palace intrigue that's related but not quite related could be seen as another victory for the Evers administration in this power struggle, I guess.
Yes, this was the lawsuit over the Affordable Care Act that Tony Evers and Josh Call, Attorney General Josh Call, both campaigned on pulling Wisconsin out of. This is a lawsuit that former Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel joined with the approval of former Governor Scott Walker. In the lame duck session, Republicans passed a law that said you can't get out of lawsuits like these without getting the approval of the Joint Finance Committee. The Joint Finance Committee wasn't, at least so far, going to give Call and Evers permission to leave this lawsuit against the Affordable Care Act. So that's the other step that Tony Evers and Josh Call took during that window between when Judge Neese issued his ruling striking down all the lame duck laws and when the appeals court stay went into effect, is Evers and Call pulled Wisconsin out of this lawsuit. And this week, a federal appeals court said, okay, you're out.
So it's like, say, you know, the House of Wisconsin had one ruler for a long time and had entered into this alliance with a whole bunch of other houses over the issue of the Affordable Care Act, but then the ruler of Wisconsin was deposed, and the new ruler of Wisconsin says, we want to break this alliance. And there was some back and forth about whether or not that could really be achieved, but now the alliance with those other states on the ACA issue has been broken.
Yep. That works for me.
All right. See, I can just do these really, really ill-considered tie-ins all day.
Good.
Long.
Good. Because I feel unprepared for them, but I'm glad you're here for that.
And really, you know, any ruler is supported by the people that he rules. You know, an unpopular ruler will have a hard time governing his people. And so we here like to look at how people are feeling about their rulers, and there was a window into that this week too, right?
That's right. Very good.
So bad.
No, it's okay. I do think about that during the show sometimes, the Game of Thrones show, because there are some rulers there who would seem to not have the public support.
Mm-hmm. They just rule with... Like the Mad King was very despised by his people.
But you could rule with fear in that mythical world in a way mm-hmm. that you can't do in modern democracy,
thankfully. He had dragons. That's how he ruled with fear.
Yeah, that is helpful. So far, nobody has those in Wisconsin government.
Do you think they did public opinion polling in Westeros?
It would be very rudimentary, I'm guessing. a huge margin of error, you know. So the latest Marquette poll, which was conducted in early April and talked to 800 registered voters, gave us kind of a glimpse at what people are thinking about their new governor, about the legislature, and about their power struggle, too, which mm-hmm. is interesting. So when it comes to the new governor, this survey found that Tony Evers' approval had gone up, but it also found that his disapproval had gone up. So how could that possibly be? Well, it's because in the first Marquette poll since Evers had become governor, you had a huge chunk of people who didn't know how they felt about Evers.
They were just, you know, minding their own business, farming wheat in the countryside, and they hadn't really stopped to consider their new ruler.
Right. They're like, seriously, we got a new king? Oh, okay. Well, I don't know yet. Well, it's April now, and some of those opinions are starting to harden a bit. It's not like when Scott Walker was governor. Think about it. By April of his first year on the job, he had already done all this stuff with Act 10, and people knew what they thought about Scott Walker by this mm-hmm. point in his administration. Tony Evers' first few months have been far less controversial, far less newsworthy, and so people are still forming their opinions, but you're starting to see them shape up. And so in January of this year, Tony Evers' approval was 39%. That was up to 47% in April. His disapproval, though, was 22% in January. It was up to 37% in April. So actually his net approval went down, if you want to look at it that way, like approval minus disapproval. Mm-hmm. But that's more in line with what you would expect in a state where, like Wisconsin, where all of our elections now apparently are decided by 1% or 0.5%. We're apparently that divided. You wouldn't expect to have a governor, you know, with like a 20% margin. It is looking more like what you might expect, but a net positive nonetheless. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's 3 months in, he's at net positive on his approval rating at this point.
And so I guess, like we've been talking about, though, this whole thing is a struggle for power, but the new king doesn't really have an army per se. And, you know, legislators don't have an army. And so how are they fighting this stuff out?
They're fighting a war of cooperation. That's how we fight wars in the Kingdom of Wisconsin state government. At the moment, at least. That may change. But there's this big push from Governor Evers, who's saying, like, you know, we just need to work together. Republicans saying, we're passing bills that obviously you have to sign. I mean, they seem to be really wanting to capture this idea that they're the ones who are trying to be friends in all this.
Mm-hmm. And I think they're fighting over who's more friendly, essentially.
It's really funny. I can't think of a direct tie-in on that one in, you know.
Yeah, because everybody in Game of Thrones hates each other.
Yeah, there's just open fighting there. And this one, it's like more disguised as cooperation. And so Marquette is asking this question, and I wonder if this will be just like an ongoing question throughout the Evers administration. But they want to know who the public thinks is trying to work with the other side more. And right now, a total of 48% said Evers was trying to cooperate with legislative leaders, compared to 37% who said he wasn't interested in cooperating. So decent numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, they most, or I guess a plurality of people think that Tony Evers is trying to cooperate. Meanwhile, just 25% said legislative leaders are trying to cooperate with Evers, with 57% saying they're not interested in cooperating. So if the goal is to get the public to think that you are cooperating, mm-hmm. Evers is, I mean, winning that in a landslide right now. I don't know if that matters. Like, I don't know if that matters for elections.
I mean, because it doesn't really measure if they're actually, like, how much they're actually cooperating.
No.
And we don't really know, yeah, like you said, whether that matters, you know, come election time.
It's just perceptions. And I think you could make a pretty strong argument that neither side is, like, making huge strides toward cooperating with the other right now. They're kind of feeling each other out. I mean, we're fighting over appointments pretty aggressively. So mm-hmm. that's the way things are. But the public says Governor Evers is doing a better job of it than Republicans are.
So what other kind of things were in this Marquette poll of the people?
They polled on a lot of stuff that's in Evers' budget to see where people are on, you know, like on medical marijuana. 83% believe that marijuana should be legal for medical purposes if prescribed by a doctor. Tony Evers' budget would legalize medical marijuana. Republicans are iffy about that one. 74% support a major increase in special education. Evers' budget would increase state funding for special ed by about $606 million. 70% favor his plan to accept federal funds to expand Medicaid. So those are those kind of bolster Evers' claim that my budget is the people's budget. I mean, mm-hmm. Which he uses a lot.
He's like officially named it that or something, right?
Yeah. And he doesn't miss an opportunity to bring that up either. And Democrats talk about it regularly. Like, that is their point. We represent the will of the people. This budget represents the will of the people. However, Marquette also found a couple other things in this budget where the public is not so keen on them. The gas tax, for example. Let's see. 57% said they favor keeping gas taxes and vehicle registration fees at their current levels. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people also, if you poll on this, people want to fix their roads.
Yeah.
But they do not want to increase their taxes or fees.
People want fixed roads. They just don't want to pay for them.
Right. And so this is a big piece of Governor Evers' budget and a place where he's kind of stuck his neck out in a way that previous governors have not, or recent governors have not. The public's not like all that much into it. Also, there was 41% said that they favored capping enrollment in private school vouchers compared to, I think, 46% who said they're opposed to that. His budget would do that. So there's a couple of issues where the Marquette poll showed that at least on those two, maybe Republicans have a stronger hand than Evers. Although I don't know where Republicans are all together on the gas tax because, you know, there have been a lot of mixed signals there.
Well, I guess it's time to go binge watch all 7 previous seasons of Game of Thrones to get ready for this Sunday's premiere.
I think if we start now and don't work the rest of the day,
we can get there.
Yeah, we'll do it.
All right. Well, Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
Even if you can't technically listen because your ears fell off when you joined an army of walking skeletons bent on world domination, you should still probably subscribe to the WPR Politics podcast on iTunes. You can also find it on Google Play and on Stitcher, as well as many other podcast apps. And you can catch up on any of our past episodes whenever you're not terrorizing mortals at wpr.org/politics.